Well, welcome, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. We love hearing from you, our listeners, so if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, I'd invite you to call right now at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, again, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All month we've been talking about forgiveness, the fact that Jesus Christ died and took away all of our sins once and for all. What does that mean to us, that all of our sins have been forgiven, all of them, past, present, and future, that since we're in Christ, it's something that we already have. He doesn't dole it out sin by sin, day by day, upon confession and confession. It's something that we presently have.
Yeah.
Now, there's some other ramifications of this great news, of this love that's been demonstrated for us through the death of Jesus Christ. And I want to mention three. And Andrew, then let's talk about these ramifications, these conclusions that we can draw for our own lives. First is Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the fact that we have forgiveness of sins means there's no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. The second is this, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So this fear that once motivated us, that once controlled us because of our sins, has been dealt with once and for all by the love of Jesus Christ. It's cast that fear aside. And then the third is this, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So through understanding this finished work of Jesus Christ, we find our rest in Jesus Christ. Some powerful truths that we get to experience every single day as believers in Christ, aren't they?
Yes, and you know, probably my favorite among these is God's perfect love in 1 John 4. And just think about what a perfect love does for you, that you're no longer walking on eggshells, that you're not trying to get God to like you and keep him liking you, that this forgiveness issue does something for our confidence. I mean, this is God's idea to clear the deck, to take away our sins, to reconcile us to himself, to make us perfectly clean and perfectly close. This is God's idea. If it was my idea or your idea, if it was humanity's idea, we would invent 5 steps and 10 ways and 100 commandments in order to obey and then get God, get on his good side and stay on his good side through what we do. But it's God's idea. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so his perfect love is the motivation. He took the initiative. The result was Jesus hanging on a cross. And as a byproduct of all that, my goodness, we get to wake up every day perfectly clean, perfectly close, reconciled to God. It was his idea. Jesus prayed about this in the garden, Father, that they would be one just as we are one. I mean, we get this closeness, this union with Jesus as a gift. And Bob, when you start thinking about how forgiven and how cleansed we are, it just reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, whoever is forgiven little is going to love little. And that means whoever's forgiven a lot is going to love a lot. And so this is not a message we need to be scared of or running away from. We need to be embracing the finished work of Christ and the total forgiveness we have in him, because it leads to us transmitting that love of God. And we're gonna sin less, not more. We're not going to be looking for ways to sin. We're going to be looking for ways to share this love and express this love of God. And that's exciting.
Yes, it is. Very exciting. So you are forgiven, which means there's no condemnation for you. You don't have to fear God's punishment that went upon Jesus, so let that perfect love cast out that fear and find your place of rest in the finished work of Christ, which means that you can rest from all of those crazy things that you've been trying to do to earn God's forgiveness, to get him to look your way. Put it all down and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It will change your life forever.
Forever. Thanks, guys, for those thoughts. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing this time with you. And a reminder that the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at work in the hearts and spirits of everyone who has come to him by grace through faith. But for many of us, that power is really not fully realized. Understanding the finished work of Jesus is vital in helping us live free of fear, guilt, and shame. And to say thanks to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month, we want to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent series called It Is Finished. Just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and request your copy. Again, It Is Finished at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start with Sam listening to us in Texas today. Hi, Sam. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You are so welcome. What's on your mind today?
Well, my question is, I know that there's a good number of people that have a strong calling for God on their life to do a particular service. And I know that the Bible says that God directs our path. And I'm just wondering, what about the rest of us that don't feel that calling to a specific area of ministry? Does God care whether I'm a day trader or an attorney or what? I mean, does he not care about that as long as I do the job to honor and glorify him?
It's a great question, Sam. And I think it's a question a lot of people ask. You know, we want to know the will of God. We want to know the perfect plan that God has for us. And oftentimes that becomes a very frustrating experience because it becomes trying to find a needle in a haystack. We're always going to second guess our decisions and wonder if this really was God's plan for us. But God's plan for us, Sam, is simply to be in Christ. That was his will. His will for you was to make you, who were once dead in sins, trespasses and sins, alive together with Christ. And so that's what he did by grace through faith. You responded. You were made alive. He took you out of this world of darkness and placed you in Christ. So you're exactly where God wants you to be. You are in Christ. And now you have the freedom to choose some of the things that you want to do in life as far as your profession is concerned. You certainly don't want to do something that's illegal or is going to be harmful to other people. But as long as you can choose a profession where you're able to trust the Lord and to live out who you are as a child of God, then God is going to use you in that particular place. You can count on it. There's going to be all kinds of ministry opportunities. So you have the freedom to choose what really fits you, what fits your personality, what fits your skill set, what fits your desires as a human being. And when you choose that, man, jump in both feet and just enjoy the daylights out of it.
Yeah, you know, you think about the calling that we read about in Romans 8. It says he called us, he justified us, he glorified us. So we do have a calling, and I think what we're saying is we're called as fruit bearers, we're called as children of God. And I know that there is a doctrine out there, there's a teaching out there that says you got to find God's will, then you got to stay in God's will, and you better not fall out of God's will. And that kind of verbiage can be really scary. And so I just want to encourage you that, as Bob said, if you're in Christ, you're in God's will. That was God's secret plan, to put people in Christ through faith. And then, you know, you say, well, where's my purpose and where's my meaning? I would say it's in Christ again. It's displaying Jesus. It's bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You can own the yellow house or the blue house. You can drive the green car or the red car. You can work in Boston or in Washington, D.C. You could be a real estate agent or a stockbroker. You can be any of those things and display Jesus. And so it is about that fruit bearing, and we don't have to worry about falling out of God's will. God's will is Jesus, and you are in him. So I hope that helps. I hope that encourages you.
Oh, it does. And so whatever I choose, he will bless it, right?
Yeah, well, there's no guarantee that you're going to get pay raises, that you'll never be fired, that you'll have a big paycheck for weeks and months and years to come. I mean, we live in a fallen world, but the blessing that you receive is participating in displaying his nature and his righteousness and fruit bearing. I mean, the early church, look at them, tortured, killed, dragged from their homes, no promise of security, yet they had faith in Christ. So we don't want to teach anything that says, well, now you're guaranteed a victorious future economically, because that's not true. But we are guaranteed a victorious present and a victorious future when it comes to knowing Jesus and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And ultimately, nobody can take that from us. That's what life is really about, knowing him.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Pennsylvania and talk with David. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
That's good. Hey guys, I was watching on the YouTube, and listen to this, please. Okay, first we must admit the doctrine of the virgin birth is too shallow to convince any objective thinker. To begin, the earliest written documents of the New Testament make no mention of the virgin birth. The Gospel of Mark, the most authentic of the four, gives not the slightest suggestion of the virgin birth. The effort to justify this doctrine on the grounds predicted by the prophet Isaiah is immediately eliminated. All the New Testament scholars agree the word virgin is not found in the Hebrew original, only in the Greek text, which is a mistranslation of the Hebrew word for young woman. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I really think it's smoke and mirrors, my friend, because, you know, even mm-hmm. if it means young woman, she's a young Jewish unmarried woman. So what does that mean? She's a virgin. Matthew 1, behold, the virgin shall be with child. Luke 1, to a virgin engaged to a man. So we have this expression engaged. So the Jews were not routinely having relations outside of marriage. That was forbidden. So when you find a young woman engaged to a man, that is a virgin woman, and especially the mother of Jesus here, the person God has chosen to do this miracle through. So I think people are trying to spin things, a little bit of smoke and mirrors, a little bit of switcheroo on a word meaning, and ta-da, there's no virgin birth. But the problem with that is everything from Isaiah 7 to Matthew 1 to Luke 1 and even John 1, we see that Jesus is born of a young woman who is not yet married, and the word virgin is in the prophecy. And I just think that this is quite a stretch from someone who is likely not a believer and just pushing ideas based on a word or a phrase and trying to spin it into a doctrine that really dishonors our Lord. So my take is there's not enough linguistic evidence to go down that road. Every indication from these disciples turned apostles and even Paul later, who firmly believed that Jesus was born of a virgin, born of a woman, born under the law. And this, as the events, you know, detail, was a woman who was Jewish, unmarried, and not having relations outside of marriage. And that's why people were so amazed and perplexed at the whole situation. So I would take that kind of reading material and toss it in the garbage. You're not going to find a lot of help there, my friend. I hope that clears it up for you.
Yeah, one other passage there in Matthew chapter 1, talking about Joseph, it says, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So we know there was no sexual relations between Joseph and Mary during their engagement. He knew her not until after the birth of Jesus. So again, more scriptural evidence that she indeed was a virgin, just as the prophecy declares. And that's important for us to hold to, knowing that Jesus was sinless, and that he suffered through obedience, and he became that unblemished lamb that took away the sins of the world.
Okay, gentlemen, I do believe in the virgin birth, but I'm going to put a throw a shocker right there. This was quoted in 1949 by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's interesting, and it really doesn't change our opinion of and what we said about it. You know, we just don't want to put stock in one author, in one person. We don't want to put stock in one angle. We want to always go back to the Word of God. And, you know, you look at this word virgin in Luke 1. It's used in 1 Corinthians 7 as virgin. It's used in 2 Corinthians 11 as virgin. So, you know, there's just, it doesn't seem like this is adding up. And at the end of the day, my friend, it doesn't matter the source of it. It matters the truth value of it. And we always want the truth, because that's what's going to set us free. Our Lord was born in a perfect way through a virgin, and we can take that to the bank and count on it.
Yeah. David, thanks for reaching out. Good to hear from you. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And, you know, friends, as a child of God, you have forgiveness of sins, and you have this incredible gift of grace, like right now. Believe it and watch God fill your heart with joy and turn your guilt and fear to peace and freedom. And to help your understanding of this vital truth, we have a free copy of our little pamphlet. It's called Forgiveness. It's the little pamphlet with the big message. Request your copy at basicgospel.net. Link at the very top of the homepage. Again, it's free, and you'll find it top of the homepage at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go back to our phone lines. Deborah in Alabama. Deborah, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. I got a question. I know someone who is, what they say, straddling the fence. Is it my place to help encourage this person to get back on the right side of the fence and let them understand that they are saved, because at one time they did give their heart to Christ and just kind of dwindled away and walked away? Is it my place to help them understand that they are still saved, but they need to get that foot back on the right side of the fence?
Deborah, great question. You know, there's lots of people that give lip service to a salvation experience, and then they're not sure, they doubt, they kind of turn and start walking in another direction. As you say, they straddle the fence. What's our role at that particular point? How can we help a person? And I think the best thing to do is to absolutely go back to the beginning, back to the gospel message, and say, here's what I understand the gospel message to mean, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose from the dead. So he forgave our sins so that we could have life everlasting. And what we've discovered, Deborah, is oftentimes when you tell the full story, when you give the full gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection, somebody will say, well, I only thought it was forgiveness. I only thought it was Christ died for my sins. So they are functioning on a half gospel, not a full story. And so you have the privilege of sharing that full story. And oftentimes people will say, well, I've never received the life of Christ. I've never been made alive. And so you say, well, how would you like to experience new life here and now? Andrew, we find this happening all the time, don't we?
Yes, we do. There's a good chance that your friend never came to know the Lord, was never made into a new creation. And then what you can also discern sometimes is that indeed there was a born-again experience early on, but it wasn't followed by solid teaching. They weren't receiving solid food. And so, you know, they've sort of lost sight. They've drifted in their thinking and their attitudes. And still, the message is the same. We don't change the message for that person. We say, well, let's go back and let's look at the cross and the resurrection and what they mean to you. So has the Lord left you? No. Has the Lord forsaken you? No. Because he took away your sins once for all. You still sit here today as a totally forgiven person. And what's more, if you've ever received the life of Christ, then he still resides in you, and you have something. You're born of imperishable seed. He'll never forsake you. You're born of the Spirit. You've got a new heart, a new spirit, God's Spirit living in you. There is a permanence to this. And, you know, there are baby Christians. Paul tells us that in Corinthians, that people start out as baby Christians, and some people mature through choosing truth, and other people linger by choosing error and getting distracted. But the answer is always the same: dependency on Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in us is going to carry us on to completion. So is it your right? Well, it's your privilege to be able to share this. And if that is what God has put on your heart, amen to that. Go for it. That's what being a good friend is. You're not coming across as judgmental. You're coming across as helpful and encouraging and saying, you know, here's a resource I have. I want to share with you. I want to encourage you in this new life in Jesus. And Bob, you know, you can't be a better friend to somebody than to share Jesus with them.
That's absolutely exactly right. Yeah. Well, Deborah, thanks for your call. I hope that's a great encouragement to you.
Absolutely. And quickly to this call from Steve.
Paul's epistles, when he's talking about the benefits of being born again and what is involved in that and what is to come, there's always a if you remain, if you finish the race. He has a lot of ifs and warnings that you did not believe in vain. And this causes a lot of concern in Christians. I believe once saved, always saved. I believe that once you receive Christ, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe all of that. So I'm left wondering, what is Paul talking about when he's speaking to these Christians? Look forward to your answer. Hopefully I'm on the radio when you give it. Thank you.
It's a great question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, well, you go to Colossians chapter 1, you find the prime example. It says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, that you don't move from the hope held out in the gospel. So imagine the gospel being held out, and he says, this is the gospel that you heard. So it's been held out, it's been heard, but the question is, what have they done with it? Have they continued to hear it? Have they continued to believe it? Because some people will flirt with the gospel and walk away. Some people will hear a portion of the message and then say, no, thank you. So these continue passages, imagine you got three people lined up. So one person's heard 5 hours of the gospel, one person's heard 5 days of the gospel, and another has heard 5 months of the gospel. And you're writing these people. What are you going to say to them? What can they all benefit from? Well, you would tell them all, continue. I don't know where you all are at. I don't know what decision you've made or not made, but continue. Continue hearing, continue believing, and at some point, each one of these individuals will come to new birth in Jesus Christ. And so these continue passages, Bob, they're not about losing salvation. They're urging these Colossians, for example, keep going, keep listening, keep believing, keep investing in the gospel message. There's a huge payoff in Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Thank you for those thoughts, Andrew. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have questions about anything you've heard, or in general for that matter, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. We always welcome your call. Again, 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate the love, prayers, and support of everyone who helps us keep the message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. And with your gift this month, we want to send you the CD series, It Is Finished, six messages by Bob Christopher that help you understand that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have to live with fear and guilt and shame because, indeed, it is finished. Request your copy today when you donate at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew for being with us, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.